And welcome for those of you on the conference line with us. We are going to see if we can go live on Facebook with this group we've got us today. See if I can find the right group here to get into while I'm multitasking everyone, letting them in here today. See if I can find this Executive Programs Facebook. There it is. We can go live and see if we can get everybody in here. It'll take just a minute, and we'll see who's going to be with us here today. We've got a great group on the conference line already and in the Zoom room. Again, if you want to join us live in the Zoom room, feel free to go to the Executive Programs Facebook page, and the link is right there. I'm going to let everybody on the line that is with us live here go ahead and mute your line. Let me just see if I've got, see if we're live on Facebook here. Just to make sure, where are we? Want to make sure we've got everything going here. Let me get to the Executive Programs Facebook page and see if we're there live. I probably need to back out and then go back in just to make sure that we are there because I do not see it. If you're in, let me know. And anybody that is with me on Facebook Live here, if you happen to be on Facebook Live as well, let me know if you can see me on Facebook Live yet or whether it defaulted and dropped me out because I don't see it. Hey, Dory, welcome. Anybody see us live there? Let me just check again. I don't see it. I'm going to try to go live one more time.
I don't see you, Tim.
Thank you so much for jumping in, and it might have kicked me out. I'm going to share to a group. Let's just make sure we get everybody going here. Executive Program, go live. It started to go live, and then it kicked me out. So we'll give it one moment. If you're just jumping in, it's been a great Saturday. Been a great Saturday already. It says we're preparing the live stream. We may be there. We'll see if the technical things get rolling with us here today. It's moving a little slower than it usually does. So
see you and everyone.
You can see me there.
Yep.
But it's not quite there yet. It says preparing to live stream on my end. We'll give it a couple of minutes here. See if it decides it wants to do it or not. It kicked me out. We're going to try it one more time to go live on Facebook, and you just never know how the technical things are going to work out, so be patient with me here. We'll try one, see if the third time is the one that's going to work here. Hope everybody's doing well. One of the group members said, hey, were you on the mentorship call today? Anybody in with me on Zoom here that was in the mentorship call today? If you were, unmute. I know we've got folks that are on the conference line as well.
So good.
It was incredible. Was that Dory?
Wow. I mean, I was just going to listen, and I'm like, where's paper? Where's paper? Oh, my gosh. It was so good.
Yeah, it was really incredible. Jim Elmore, if you missed that session, guys, you're definitely going to want to jump back in and listen to that. And I would imagine the recording will be on within the next 24 hours if you missed it. Said my connection timed out again. So I'm going to try one more time to see if we can't get in there. I don't know what's going on here, but let me close a couple of other screens just to see if that is going to impact anything. Sometimes the technical things work really easily and really well, and sometimes they don't work very well. And it's stopping about the same place it has been stopping. So let me just look here and see if there's anything else that might be causing it to not jump in. Make sure I've got all these windows closed, and it just freezes at preparing to live stream the meeting. Okay, great. So let me see if I've got anybody else here. And Tasha's jumping in. We'll get her in. We'll try a couple of different things to see if it's going to live stream. We've got folks jumping in. They may be, we may just have to go live in the Zoom without the Facebook Live today, but we'll see. And then we're waiting on Gary to jump in with us. He should be here as well. We'll try. I'm going to just start all over here. And it looks like folks that were in the conference line, we've got a lot of you guys listening in. Thank you guys for your patience. Appreciate you being a little patient here with us as we're trying to go live on Facebook, and sometimes things really work well and sometimes they do not. I'm going to try one last time and then we're just going to jump in to the groups that we've got here. So, and then we will record it so that everybody that wants to listen to it, we can post it afterwards. Nope, looks like it's freezing up at the same spot. So we're just going to jump right in. And for those of you that are listening on the conference line, welcome. Again, if you're on the conference line and you want to jump into the Zoom with us, feel free to do it. We will record this session. I'm going to go ahead and record now and see if we can't get that going for everybody that's going to be listening to this. Via video, we'll have that as well, and I've got just a couple of announcements. Those of you that were on the mentorship line this morning heard the announcements. We've got less than a month to refer people under the current promotion that we've got going, where five people who submit the most leads can not only earn money but earn points towards their towards the spring referral contest. You can spend a day with Chris Robinson, Chris Godey, and Roddy Galbraith, private all-day access to them coming up, and you can do that by submitting leads for people that should be a part of our Maxwell leadership team. Also, if you had headshots or any other photos taken, a lot of those are already on the platform, but the headshots will be emailed out to you by the end of the month, and then the personalized videos through the end of May. This month is Global Youth Initiative, your opportunity to really give back to students in your community. If you want more information on how you can do that, if you haven't, or you just want to take it to the next level, you can join Gina Watts on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. on the certification line for more on that. Also, if you were not on the mentorship call this morning, you didn't hear about the next transformation trip. So now is your chance to join in on the next transformation trip in Panama. It's going to be happening July 22nd through the 27th. Mark your calendars for Tuesday, April 18th for registration. We'll open for that trip and then hop on the Panama launch call at 4 p.m. So exciting stuff there. If you also didn't hear about the new fully scripted lunch and learn that we have for those of us that are DISC consultants, if you're in the DISC consultant program, John Schindel took the presentation that he did at the INC with that portrait of Washington and has built a lunch and learn around that that we can do as training with potential clients. So great, great stuff. So that wraps it up for the announcements. And I am excited to be with you guys today talking about how to get your first or next big meeting. And again, Gary will be joining me in a few minutes. He's also got another call happening, I think, on the business building line. So he will be here. And what a great group we've got here. Man, we've got Dory, we got Carol, we got Mercy sitting in her in her mobile office, it looks like. We got Janet and Gary. And, hey, Tasha, great to see your face, as always. And Robert, great to see you, man. Terry, man, haven't seen you since the IMC. Great to see your face. And I know Payne is with us, Melissa Jackson, and we've got a great group on the conference line. And, you know, at the IMC, we kind of gave a good overview of all of the things that we have available at the executive programs level. And we have so many things that we can use within organizations to not only get business, but to really deliver transformational training. And what we developed about 3 years ago is we put together some business building workshops to help you get, really help us all get, and it was kind of one of these things we were learning as a team, as a President's Advisory Council team, we were learning together, is how do you get that first big meeting, or maybe the next one, how do you get more of those next big meetings to help you get in the door with organizations? So we basically took what we were learning and just started framing out what would it look like for us to put some business building sessions together that not only got us from that first big meeting, but then what do you do after that meeting with all the information you get? And then how do you take that information and put together something that's really going to serve people well? And for those of you that are just jumping in, we've had some technical things this morning where we can't go live on Facebook. I can't get live on Facebook with my system, and it probably means I need to reboot. And I did reboot before this call, but we're recording it for everyone. But what we did is we put together 10 sessions on how do you get that first big meeting or the next one, and then what do you do once you get through that. So what we're going to do today, and Gary will be joining me in a few minutes, is we're just going to walk you through some things that we are learning, that we have learned, that we continue to work to apply in our business. And we've got a great group here that can chime in, can ask questions. And if you're on the conference line and you've got questions as well, feel free to jump in. And the whole purpose here is to provide our executive program leaders a pathway to get discovery meetings. And in this session today, it's really the objective is to learn a process for generating a request, right? What we're looking for is the opportunity to get in front of people that's going to help us be able to deliver a request from them for training, facilitating, speaking services using what we have available on the platform, including what we have at the executive program level. I see Gary's jumping in here, so we'll give him a minute to just jump in. Gary, welcome as you're jumping in here. I know you've been on another call as well this morning. Gary, say hi just to make sure we can hear you.
Hi.
We had some technical challenges getting on Facebook Live, so we've got a great group here, and we've got a great group on the conference line. And, you know, Gary, before we jump in, I just thought let's tell our story, because I came from an employee background and decided to make a transition and start a business from scratch. And I don't know about you, but I started my business from scratch after attending an IMC 2 years earlier and having them plant the seeds of, hey, you can be a speaker, coach, trainer. And I don't know if that was the same for you. And I know you and I have been talking a lot about some of these things today, but hey, why don't you just, you know, share with us quickly, tell us a little bit about your story and how you went from being in the industry you were in to becoming a full-time speaker, coach, trainer.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. You know,
Everyone's story is really going to begin the same way. And that's take action, right? Discovery is on the other side of action. So I got started, obviously, with those that were within my sphere of influence. I started in my hometown in Tennessee, Cleveland, Tennessee, just north of Chattanooga. Got started there. And then it wasn't long after that, I had, was beginning to establish some business, right, some business there, just kind of inching along, right, just a little. That I was listening, I think it was, in two, I want to say September of 2019, somewhere in that vicinity, TM and everyone, that I was listening on the mentorship line to Chris Robinson, and the title of that call is Ground Zero. And he's talking about when you're moving to a brand new place, you're starting all over again. And I can remember listening to that going, yeah, I hope I never have to do that. Because what I've started is just inching along. My God, I've got to start all over again. And the strangest thing was I ended up where I'm at now in Panama City Beach. And I still have business in Tennessee, but I ended up here through a series of events actually starting fresh. And, you know, I like to really simplify things, Tim, and I can get into more details however you like, but focused action, that's what creates traction, and it doesn't matter what it is. You know, if I need more traction in a relationship, it takes focused action. If I need more traction in my health and fitness, it takes focused action. It doesn't matter what it is. Focused action creates traction. And then what I found, what I wanted and what I found were two different things. What I wanted was give me this big flash in the pan and this fire that stays hot. And you know, I don't have to keep stoking it, right? That's not realistic at all. That's what I wanted. But what I needed to do was to keep stoking the fire, keep fanning the flame. And that adds consistency. So consistent, focused action, that creates momentum. And what I found is when the momentum comes, it comes all at once. It comes all at once. So all the preparation that you've been making, all the calls you've been attending, all the hours of, you know, proposals that you've been putting together, all those times, nothing's wasted because it prepares you for that moment. When the momentum comes, it really comes. But I just found that consistent, focused action, I did a lot of that, Tim, through regular lunch and learns. Every month I would do a lunch and learn at my chamber. Every opportunity I had, I'm speaking for whomever. Every opportunity I had to give some complimentary coaching sessions or complimentary DISC assessments, I took advantage of it. See what I'm saying? It's just focused action, consistent focused action. And so, Tim, I started the income that got established in the business in the new town in Panama City Beach. The income that was established the first year, it went five times the second year, and it went my third year, and it's going crazy, quite honestly. So I just wanted to kind of give a little bit of how it's happened and where I'm at, just so that you all know that it's the same thing that Chris Robinson, he coached me for several years. He was my table leader at my first IMC. A couple of months after that, he became my coach, and he told me probably about 2 years ago. Yeah, he said Gary, it's starting to happen for you because you didn't quit. And this is, you know, from 2016 to 2021. It was 5 years there. 5 years into it, he said, Gary, because you didn't quit, it's starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference maker.
No,
hey, there is a way to get there.
No, there is, and that's it's. It, thank you for sharing that. And I think the big point for me there was it's all action, right? You took action, and it's all possible for us. And even in my story, and I shared some of this at the IMC, it's action, and for me it was just following the process. So one of the things as we talk today about how to get your next or your first big meeting, you have to take action. And you have to follow a process. Now, what we're going to talk to you about today is a process. It is not the way. And we've learned that from Chris and all of our mentors, is there's multiple ways here, right? This is a way. It is not the way, but it takes action and it takes a process. And for me, it was taking each step of the process in its basic form. Because one of the things I've heard John say is we have to put things almost in third grade, second month level. Now, I know some of you here have your doctorate, right? You've got that. But for me, it's like, hold it, if you put it in third grade, second month level, where I can understand it, okay, I can take action on that. So for me, when I just heard there was a process and that I could do this sooner than later, I just started following the process and testing. Okay, now another word I'm going to use is test, because in anything that Gary and I share with you today, and I think Gary would be okay with me sharing this, is don't trust us on anything, just go test and see how it works in your business. But for me, I left a company at the top of my earning capacity, making a multi-six-figure income with benefits and stock options and insurance and all that stuff, right? And I had just been following the process that Chris, the other mentors, had shared with me. And within the first eight months, I had replaced my pre-retirement income. Okay. Now, if you're with us here, I'm going to let you mute your line. If there's something happening here, I can't get to everybody and mute everybody's line, but I'm going to let you guys mute your line. But for me, it was I had replaced my pre-retirement income using the strategy and the tools that we're going to provide with you on this call. And one of the things that I learned when I went to IMC early on, and I continue to hear the same things, right, is that business is all around us. In fact, I'm going to tell you, business is all around you. You don't need advertising. You don't need a website other than what the Maxwell Leadership can provide us. And websites are great, right? You've heard Chris talk. Hey, man, websites are great. Advertising is great. I'm going to tell you, you don't need advertising or a website other than the Maxwell Leadership website. And I want you to listen to this, and I want you to write this down. The best advertising that you have is your skill, your talent, and your abilities. And when I heard them say that, I was like, are you kidding me? I'm coming from a professional career where I get paid to do a specific job, and you're telling me the best advertising I have is my skill, my talent, abilities? Absolutely. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. And there was four things that I learned that I'm continuing to apply, and I know Gary is too, to help us land our next big meetings. And I'm going to give you four things here, okay? The first is I've got to share what I do. And what I learned from Chris Robinson is to start with the people I know. He said, hey, start with the people that you know and the contacts that you have in your phone, in your Outlook, anybody. You have to get with them. You have to find an opportunity to get one-on-one, to get a coffee, a lunch, or something. And not make it all about you, but make it all about getting together with them. And while you're with them, apply what you've learned about coaching. And he said, I decided to do Lift to Lead the first year. And during that live to lead, it was how do they get to know me? Now, when I said, okay, well, okay, I've got some contacts, I've got some Outlook stuff, yeah, I've been in business, but, you know, they know me as this. He said, where's the low-hanging fruit for you? Now, the low-hanging fruit was, he said, who are the companies that you know? Hey, in your church, in your community groups, in your friends and family, local groups that you may be involved in, where's the low-hanging fruit that you can start with? And inviting people to coffee, to lunch, to just a catch-up call, maybe virtually or live. But it all started with, how do I look at who I currently have in my current list of contacts? Now, Gary, can you speak into this, anything from your perspective on, okay, sharing what you do and maybe some other things that have really benefited you from sharing what you do?
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. First, I want to share with everyone that initially I didn't like the idea of networking. I didn't like it at first because I thought it was this skill that I had to have and that I didn't have. And my first idea is go to chamber events and all this is I'm going to go hand someone my card. Light is going to come in through the window. A choir is going to sing, and they're forever going to do this. I was that guy. But here's what I learned. When I figured out that networking, all networking really is, is just go be your authentic self and look for ways to add value to people, period. A great resource that I've learned a lot from is the book Endless Referrals. And in that book, he gives some strategies, but it's the very things that we learn about in Maxwell Leadership. Look for ways to add value to the other person. You meet someone at a networking event, you look for someone, how can you connect them with someone that will help them? That's one of the things that you do. Another thing that you do is you ask them, when I'm talking with people, what do I need to be looking for so I can refer business to you? Listen, they're going to remember you for those things. And the third thing I want you to know with that is that, again, it takes that consistency. It just takes time. There's been some networking groups that, hey, I was going to, not much was happening. And you hit that little lull sometimes, and you get discouraged sometimes, and you think, man, when's it going to be my turn, right? When's it going to happen? But you just keep going, just keep adding value. I've had things that it was a year later, that things started happening from someone that I met, in a networking event. And so once I realized that, listen, meeting people and just loving on people is something I love to do anyway. So just look for every opportunity to go do that. Mm. Look for every opportunity to go do that. Make it 100% about them. They're going to ask you what you do, right? And you can talk a little bit about that, but turn it right back around to them. That cultivates top of mind. So I like to say it this way, Tim. You know, the first mile, that's where we build a platform, and we need to be good first mile runners, right? We need to build that business model where we give people what's expected of us. That's first mile. And that's where we build a platform. But the second mile is where you build a presence. When you do the things that you didn't have to do, maybe it's that handwritten note that you sent to someone and say, hey, it was a pleasure meeting you, and if I can refer business to you, I certainly will. Janet Holliday, Carol Hargan, or Dory, Tasha, whatever the case may be. Just those little things like that just make a big difference. And, you know, I could go on and on. I could tell you story after story, but I could tell you that business turns your way whenever your influence has gone up. And when you're just good to people, that's going to crank your influence in people's lives up. And they recognize that you're somebody that can help them. And And there, listen, there's an abundance of that. There's an abundance of that out there if we just add value to people.
No, thank you for sharing that, Gary. And one other thing, when we talk about sharing what you do, you're all going to be doing something today, tomorrow, the day after. There's places that we frequent, right? One of the things I continue to learn is that if I have an awareness of no matter where I'm at, of what I do, there's opportunities to share what I do. As an example, I was shopping vehicles. While I'm in there, my self-awareness popped in and said, hey, why don't you see if you can talk to the general manager that's here and just kind of thank him how impressed you are with his people and all that stuff. And then while you're there, ask him, hey, do you guys do sales meetings with your team? So I just took a step, asked if they would introduce me to the general manager. I gave him a compliment, and then I asked the question, do you have sales meetings? And he said, yeah, we have two a week. I said, well, I had my Maxwell Leadership stuff on. Hey, I'm a speaker, coach, trainer, and I don't know if you'd be open to this or not, but I'd love to come and talk to your team for 45 to 60 minutes about selling, about leadership as sales leaders. And he said, well, when can you come? I was in a restaurant having lunch, and I had my Maxwell Leadership shirt on, and someone walked up and said, hey, are you with Maxwell Leadership? And I was like, yeah, are you? And he said, no. And I said, well, how do you know about Maxwell Leadership? He said, well, I'm taking my book, my team, I'm the manager here, I'm taking them through Developing the Leader 2.0. And I said, oh, my gosh, I love that book. I don't know if you'd be open to this or not, but I'd love to come and teach one of the chapters for your group. And he was like, are you kidding me? You would do that? And I did that. They've come to my Lift to Lead multiple years because all I did was I was aware of the opportunity to share what I did, not in a way to promote who I am, but to validate them and to offer the opportunity to share what I do. So when I said earlier, business is all around us, my guess is that within a 7 to 8 mile radius, unless you live out in the country, there's enough business around you for a lifetime. Now, I know that's a bold statement. I bet there's enough business around you for a lifetime if you have that awareness. So the first thing is I want to find more opportunities every week. And I'm going to give you a tool before we're done here that can help you, that can help you track that, okay? It can help you plan it. It can help you track it, right? Is I got to share what I do. Number two is I need to put people ahead of the product. I need to put people ahead of my product. And you heard Gary say it. And it can be really discouraging anytime someone tells you no, regardless of whether it's a proposal or an opportunity to come speak, because you think I'm one step closer to being out of business or, you know, you're really not, but you feel like you are. So it's natural for us to feel like, hey, when someone rejects us, that, hey, that's just one more, right? We have to have the right posture. When we put people ahead of the product, right, we have to have the right posture because I don't want anyone to view me as needy. And you've probably heard me say this before because needy is creepy. All I want them to be is interested. I don't want to get emotional. For me, that means regardless of who I'm with, I have to be so interested in them is I have to have the right posture. In fact, there's two kinds of posture, and I want to talk about that. Is there's an internal posture that I have to have if I'm going to share what I do no matter where I'm at, because some people are going to be open to me offering an opportunity to serve them, and some aren't. In fact, Bill Gove, he was one of the top sellers for National Cash Register for years. He said, you're responsible to people, not for people, to give you the opportunity to do business with them. We are responsible to people, not for people. So we have to be prepared for that. We're not responsible for people's life decisions. And when you have that posture, it can really be free. As long as you have prepared to do your best, right? When you go in with that posture, you're going to appeal more to them. So you have to have that internal posture. Then you have to have the external posture that not any one potential client is going to impact your business in a significant way. So when you go in with the external posture that, hey, I'm not needy, I'm not going to be creepy, not one individual or organization is dependent on my success, it becomes more about the person that you're talking to, and it gets the focus off of yourself. Okay? And we've all heard the term, hey, people want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. The way they're going to learn to know, like, and trust you is when you ask them to a one-on-one, to coffee, to lunch, to dinner, something like that, right? So one of the things that I've learned from the leaders on this team is the object is to get or schedule a discovery meeting or get in the door with something like a lunch and learn so I can schedule a discovery meeting afterward, because that's really their first yes. Their first yes is, do I need you, which means I would allow you the opportunity to come in and serve my team. So I don't want to go in if I have the opportunity. I don't want to go in with a pre-prepared presentation of what I can offer or a recommendation of training. Because as Chris Robinson has taught us, that's what we do to them, not for them. Okay? So when I can share more about what I do and I have the right internal and external posture, it takes the pressure off to perform, and I become more of an explorer than a presenter. Okay? In fact, I've heard it said this way, that business relationships are a succession of exploring, agreement, and decision. And getting them to agree doesn't get me the decision. So Gary, can you speak into this posture and putting people ahead of the product? I know that's one of your primary themes.
Yeah, absolutely. I like, Tim, the fact that you're talking about decision. That a business relationship is a succession of exploring, agreement, and decision. If you look at the origin of the word decision, very interesting. It means to cut out. In other words, when we can recognize what we need to say no to, it gives clarity to what we need to say yes to. And in that discovery meeting, whenever we're asking questions and we're learning about them, we're learning also the things that are their pain points. We're learning what it is that are their greatest challenges. And you can begin to sense whenever there's trust. And you've all seen it. You've all been part of those conversations. When the trust level goes up, there's just some things that begin to share with you. And really, you know, when you think about the word decision, and, you know, obviously you know that you have the solutions, and objectively standing back, hey, I want them to make a decision in my favor. What you really want is for them to make a decision in their favor. And when you can just flip that, and it's 100% about them, and like Gary Orr saying, become known, like, and trust them in that conversation. When you can take that focus on what it is that they need to say no to, then here's clearly what you need to say yes to. My comment is always, yes, I can help.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I can help.
Yeah.
And also, Tim, I've also learned, in the early days, I thought I needed to have an answer for everything. As I've grown and matured, it's not about me having the answer for everything. Sometimes it's about knowing the right people to plug them into. You know, I've had two different clients come to me. Both of them were prospective. One has said yes, the other is getting ready to say yes. But hey, we're having, family-owned business, great communication conflict between two of the family members, and one of those happens to be the parent, and they just pass it on. So now you got a family transition of business, and just even knowing who that person is that you can help plug them into. And you know where all that comes from, Tim? It just comes through time. It just comes through knowing and getting to know the people and putting yourself in the room with people that you get to know. So, yeah.
Very good. So we want to find more opportunities to share what we do. We want to make sure that we put people ahead of our product. And I can't tell you how many times I have conversations with people and speakers, coaches, trainers, and their biggest concern is, what is it that I'm going to deliver? I've got to decide what I'm going to deliver to them before they've even had a discussion with an individual or an organization. It's like they feel like they have to have that down before they get in. And you really don't. So take the pressure off yourself. If you put the focus on them, you'll get to the point where you've got to determine what's going to serve them best. The third thing is, if I have an opportunity to share what I do with people, I want to ask questions and make statements, not sell. So number three is, ask questions, make statements, don't sell. In fact, when I'm selling, I'm not learning anything about them. There's going to be an opportunity for us to sell them, and when we get to that in the training, the sell is just one step in the process, but it shouldn't be, it's a sell. It should be, if I've asked the right questions, I've listened, I've really dove into what their big relevant idea problem is, then the solution shouldn't be a sell. The solution should be virtually automatic as long as I've done the other things properly. So if I have the opportunity, no matter what I get into later today with someone, somewhere, and I have the opportunity to share what I do, I'm going to ask questions. And I'm going to make statements, because we impress when we impact people up close by listening to them. So I'm going to put a poll here in the chat for those of you that are with me and those of you that are listening in the on the conference line. I just want you to rate yourself right now as a listener. I think I got that in there. Hey, if you have the opportunity to share what you do with someone, make statements, how good of a listener are you today? Are you one? Would you say I'm a one? I'm not a good listener. Number two, I try to listen, but I'm often distracted. Three, I listen, but I don't remember details. Four, I shut off all distractions when listening. Or five, I not only shut off all distractions and actively listen by verbal, but also nonverbal. So what's your number? If you're with me on Facebook, on the Zoom here, I just want you to type your number in the chat. What's your number? Payne's like, hey, Payne's a strong, strong. He's a strong two. Hey, Payne, you got little ones at home, so I get that, right? Okay, Terry's like, man, Terry's a five. She's a great listener. Rudy's like 3 and 5. Tasha's 3. Now, for those of you that are listening in on the conference line, I'd write your number down, right? Okay. Now, I know some of us work for individuals, okay? And again, you can take this and use this. If I was your supervisor, or if you're working for someone, and they ask me that question about you and your listening skills, what would their number be for you? Well, let me strike that. What if it was your significant other that I was asking this question?
I'll have one.
What would their number be? Terry's like, I don't have one. I love that. Okay. Well, and when I share this, I say there's not a zero on this list. That's why I don't put that there. And isn't it interesting that the ones that we care about the most, sometimes we listen to the least? So it's important for me to know, if I want to get my first big meeting, right, and I have an opportunity to share what I do, right, and put the focus on the people and not the product that I've got or the products that I've got, I've got to be asking questions and making statements and keenly listening and not telling them how great I am or how great Maxwell is or how great who is or whatever. It's just, oh my gosh, yes, I do this professionally and I would love the opportunity. I don't know if you'd be interested, but I'd love the opportunity to come in here and serve you. Now, again, I'm telling you, this is a way. And this is a powerful way, okay? Carol, thank you. I try to be a five, but it's a challenge. Okay, yeah. And Robert, thanks. Hey, after 41 years in insurance business, look at this. 41 years in insurance business, took some time, right? I've had to learn, right? Right? So my guess is there's opportunity for all of us here that we need to be listening. And we need to be asking questions when we have an opportunity like, and I shared some of these at the IMC, what's going well with your team? What's not going well with your team? I love this question, what's keeping you up at night? Generally, that will get all kinds of responses. Oh my gosh, well, what's keeping you up at night? And if I can wave a magic wand over you and take away one of your biggest challenges professionally with your team, your organization, I'd love to offer you the opportunity to have me come in and speak to your team for 45 to 60 meeting minutes. And Gary, I don't know about you, but quickly here, my guess is less than 10% of the people that I've had the opportunity to ask that question to or throw that offer out to have said no.
Yeah, and Tim, I also want to add that some of my best discovery meetings have been right like this.
Yep.
Or over food, quite honestly. Where I knew there could be some opportunity. They knew that too. But I was just interested in gaining a friend and being a friend. And so, you know, my goodness, there's just something about that. There's something very authentic about that. And whenever one that I'm thinking of right now, he began to share just some things that, you know, he struggled with this past year. I just listened to him. And I just had an opportunity to speak into his life, period. Man, it just, and I just went.
Yeah.
I just went from there. And, Tim, and there's this. There is the ask. And it's how you ask. Everything from, there's many different ways. Everything from, if there's ever anything that I can help you with in the areas of communication, that's one that I focus on, because I know that's a strong point. In the areas of communication, more than happy. I'll kind of do a lunch and learn. I'll even stop in the businesses with a pamphlet and say I'm looking to partner with some companies who'd like to get their communication levels up. If you know someone, I'll be happy to come in and do a lunch and learn. So there's that as well. There's lots of different ways, but I just want to point that out. Some of my best discovery meetings have not been formal. It's been over coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It starts by showing interest in them, applying what we learned about coaching, and when the timing is right, you ask the questions and you make the statement. Okay. All of us are capable of doing that, and my guess is you have someone that you could do that with, or someone's that you could invite to coffee, invite virtual one-on-one, just to catch up with them to see how they're doing. We've got to share what we do. We've got to focus on the people and not what we do. And then we have to ask questions and make statements. And lastly, I think one of the things that has really impacted my ability to get opportunities to get in the organization is to validate them while I'm with them. And when I say validate them is let them know what you admire or value in them during your time together without the expectation of anything in return. In fact, John calls it the 30-second rule. Most of you guys know this. Within the first 30 seconds of meeting with them, share something with them that you admire, that you've observed, right? And then when you wrap up your time with them, you just revalidate them. John's taught us 85% of success is due to our people skills, right? It's not the technical stuff, right? So we have to connect with people. We have to connect with people. Now, the opportunity is in front of us. And for me, one of those engagements just happened to be when I went to my men's group. And people at my men's group saw me wearing my Maxwell leadership and just started asking me questions. And I just, had an opportunity to have coffee with one of the guys and basically took this process with him and said, hey, I don't know if you'd be interested, but I'd love to come in and chat with your team. And I came in and chatted with his team with no expectations. And while I was in there, I talked about what my recommendations for the next steps would be with them, right? We go in, we do a lunch and learn, and at the end it's like, oh my gosh, here's the next step to this piece of the lunch and learn. And that one meeting with me ended up becoming a multi-six-figure long-term engagement with this client. And I had an opportunity to interview him on a call, and this was some time ago, and I think we did it on the platform, and I think we might have even done it on the platform. And when we asked him, what was it? Because he didn't have to bring me in. He could have brought any other people. In fact, I think at the time he was talking to other people, but he didn't know what I did until he saw my shirt and he just said, hey, what do you do? And he said, the reason we chose to go with Tim is because he provided value before he asked for an engagement. He provided value before he asked for the engagement. And I can tell you there's been very few that I got the opportunity to get in and do a discovery meeting where I was able to go in and show them who I am, that it did not lead to more. So my strategy today is fully provide value before I ask for an engagement. Provide value before I ask for an engagement. And I follow these four steps. I want to meet with people every week if I can. I want to meet with at least one person every week. Phone, one-on-one, something where I have the opportunity to share what I do, to ask questions and listen, and provide the opportunity to ask, make that statement, hey, I don't know if you'd be interested in this or not, but I'd love to come and talk to your team. And it's really interesting how many doors that's opened, and because of that door, multiple doors are open now. So if you take just these four things that Gary and I have talked about, and Gary, I want you to talk about this too, and the validation piece, right? What I've found is that my thinking has been too small, because I'm thinking about that individual and that one opportunity that I have to maybe get in the door to speak to that individual. But what I've found is that one opportunity has led to multiple opportunities and even bigger opportunities that I can't serve myself. I have to have other people to help me to deliver on things. So Gary, can you speak into that? And then we'll wrap up here and go to Q&A.
Yeah, Tim, I think there's lots of different ways that we think too small. And I definitely have been exactly where you're at and can get there again if I'm not careful, right? And that's why I love the example I shared earlier of, I can't help you with that, but I know someone that can, and I'm still serving them, but I'm bringing people in and around that can provide them the solutions. But I want to get another way that I was thinking too small. And there were four things that I think really helped my business move forward. And it was four phases of growth for me. One was I realized I need to stay hungry, right? So stay after it. And then I need to stay humble. That was the second part. Always have that servant mentality. And then the third one was I needed to believe, because that's going to direct my behavior and that's going to direct my results. But this fourth one, I need to be first. And I just want to explain real quick what I was doing and the shift that was made, and it'll take me less than 2 minutes. What I was doing, for instance, at the alumni sessions at the IMC, going to alumni session, I put myself in the back of the room because somebody else should have the other seats. Mr. Accommodation, right? Somebody else should have the better seats. Well, it comes down for Q&A, and I'm at the back, so I can see everybody's behind it. Well, their questions are probably more important than mine anyway, and I'm at the back of the room. You know, what am I going to do? And then John told a story of his granddaughter got her driver's license, so it was her first drive, and she drove him to the mall. And she was about to pull into the parking space. It was about half a mile, he said, from the entrance to the mall. He said, honey, what are you doing? And she said, well, the parking spaces at the front are probably already taken. And he said, how do you know that? You've not been to the front. He said, drive to the front. He said, as they're driving to the front, he said, sweetheart, I want to teach you something. Life and opportunity are like parking spaces. And if you keep picking the ones that are half a mile from the entrance, you'll never make it to the front. And when John said that, there was an anchor that I had in off the bow of my boat, my business boat. That anchor had been in the water a long time. He pulled that thing out when he told that story. And there's barnacles all over this anchor. I've had that anchor in the water a long time. And after that, those alumni sessions, I had myself on the front. I had my question because I'd already prepared it. I found Mark McCullough because he had the microphone. And Mark, when it comes time, you come straight to me. I started asking my questions. I started getting answers to my questions. And when that happened, when I added value to myself, I had more value to offer to others. That was a complete shift and my life and my business all the way around be first.
Hmm. That's powerful. That is powerful, Gary. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, a couple of things, and then I'm going to give you a tool. How many of you on the screen with me were at the IMC with us live? Okay, a few of you, okay? Someone here said, hey, in what ways do I provide value before I ask for the engagement? We have a lot of different tools that we offer, and one of the things that we provided to those of you that were at the IMC was just a 45-minute presentation, kind of like a lunch and learn keynote on the six temptations of successful organizations. Now, if you got that and you haven't worked on using that as a door opener for you, that's a big opportunity because any organization can benefit from that. And my guess is if you did that or had the opportunity to get in the door to do that, they would want to know what else do you do. Okay? So if you weren't there, before we finish, I'm going to put the link into the chat so that you can download and edit that presentation out of what we covered at the IMC so that you can have that. In fact, I'll just put it in there now. Now, I don't want you to go get it now. I don't want, for those of you that I'm putting it in, don't get it now. And if you're on the conference line and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't get it, then just direct message me and I'll make sure that you get the link to that, the six temptations of successful organizations. Because that can help you serve organizations a lot. Now, for those of you that are like, okay, how do I take this and know that, okay, I've got to find a way to be sharing more of what I do. I know that I got to put the people ahead of the product and that I need to be asking questions and making statements and validating people. How can I do that? Well, I'm going to share my screen and then I'm going to post this. I'm going to post this in the Facebook page afterwards so that you guys have this. And many of you have seen this before. Deb and Gino introduced this, I don't know, a couple of years ago during our Summer of Strengths business training that we had as basically a business plan template for executive program leaders to use to help them generate more big meetings, more first meetings for those of you that are brand new. And it basically is like, it's almost like a plan with a scorecard. And all I've done is highlighted the top segment that we've kind of been talking about here today. How can I increase my prospects and how can I get more conversations with people? And the top two segments are focused on your prospect list, virtual events that you've attended or planning to attend, or live events. Maybe it's like networking events, like local chamber events, local leadership events. Now, I said there's probably a lifetime of business within 8 miles of you. Have you researched lately about what events are happening in your area that you might be able to show up to and share what you do and ask questions and make statements without promoting everything you do and how great you are and all that stuff? Well, all you do is you go in and you just fill in the blanks. Hey, how many books did you read in March? How many prospects did you have on your list in March? What was the date of your last contact with a prospect? How many new prospects do you have on the list? You want to talk about what's revealing? Maintain your posture here when you're filling this out. Regardless of the numbers, good or bad. And then what's your plan this month? How many prospects would you like to have on the list for the month? Hey, what's the date of your next one? How many virtual events are you going to attend, live events? If all you did was worked on the top two segments here and then throw out a goal for the week, throw out some targets for the next 2 months. I used this in the fourth quarter of the year, and I filled out every box. And I'd used it before, but I hadn't used every segment. I filled out every box on this in October, and I just started working. I didn't, you know, it wasn't like every day I was looking at it, but every week I looked at it, and I plugged in what actually happened and what I was doing. And I had the best first quarter since I've been doing this full time. And I believe it was all because, as Gary said earlier, I took action. And I followed the process. I took action and I followed the process. And what it allowed me to do is get in front of more people, including past clients, because part of those prospects, I just started having conversations with prospects that I'd already closed out business with. And what was amazing is just by reaching out to them, they wanted me to come in and talk and do more with them. So I'm going to put this in the Facebook page after I'm done. It's called My Second Quarter Business Plan. The file name, I think, is My Business Plan. It's really your action plan. And my challenge would be is, hey, we all take this and we fill it out regardless of how good, bad, or ugly it is, and start focusing on one segment of it as a primary opportunity to grow our business. I'll give you a couple other things here, and then we'll wrap up and open for Q&A. There's a lot of archived calls that we have on the platform, and I'm going to give you just a couple of them while I've got you here, so that you know what we have available for you. On June 12th of last 2021, so the date on it is 6/12/21, Chris Robinson did a call called How to Build a $100,000 Business. Okay? Now, you may be there, you may not be there, it doesn't matter. You go back and listen to that and see what you can pull out of that. If you missed Tim Elmore's call this morning, you need to go back and listen to that. And you need to take notes. And I took so many notes during that call. And one of the things that he said that really impacted me this morning was that when the pressure is on, that's when we get really anxious and we get really nervous when the pressure is on. He said pressure isn't the problem. It's the solution. That we're wired to look for shortcuts. It's what we do with the pressure that counts. Okay, that right there, if I just look at this spreadsheet, I'm looking at it and going, hold it, where's the shortcut? where's the shortcuts I can take, right? This is pressure. This is pressure to have to do something like that. But if I really think about it, okay, the pressure isn't the problem. The pressure is the solution. So if we don't do anything different than we did before we jumped in here today, and we've been on for a little over, we've been on about an hour, if we do nothing different than we did today, right, that's naturally how we're wired. We're just doing what's normal to us. We got to find a way to put the pressure on. So my challenge to those of you that are on with me here, I just want you to type in the chat, who's with me here and who's going to step up and fill out this second quarter business plan and hey, start testing. Who's going to start testing with me just to see who I want to work with, who I don't want to work with, all that stuff Gary talked about, we've been talking about, but who's with me. Okay, Janet, thanks. Hey, Gary, thanks. Hey, Mary, Beth, great. I'm in too, right? Carol, thanks. And for those of you that are on the conference line, I'll post it in, and I'll post the updated file, the blank file. If you need help in any way, I'm here. Direct message me. I know Gary's here to help. Direct message him as well. We'd be happy to help. Amma Balaji, thank you. Robert Taylor, yes, thank you. Right on, right? It's all about growing our business and taking some next steps with action. So again, this is a way to get in the front of more people with the objective to help them make the decision of, yes, okay, I want to know more, I want to learn more, and have you get in front of people and really show them what they do. So Gary, I don't know if you're around to the Q&A. I'm going to go to the queue, and I'm going to start with someone in the conference line. If you're with us on Zoom and you want to have a question, just raise your hand. I'm going to jump into the conference line here, go to Q&A, and I think we've got Midge has been in the queue, I think, shortly after we started. So, Midge, to the call, if you're still there, hanging in with us.
Yes, and good morning to both of you and everyone. How are you?
We're doing very, very well.
Oh, this is amazing. Thank you both so much. I mean, just incredible. My head's spinning, so that's always a good thing. So, you know, it's funny when you talk about listening, because I am probably, I have to work so hard at it, because when you start, you know, someone's talking, just like even you're talking, then I start going down this rabbit hole, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, and this, and this, and this. So it's very much engaged, but then I just, again, go down a rabbit hole. So I'm always working on that. So appreciate that. Tim, so I talked to Gary a little bit about this. I have an opportunity to do a full day's training for actually new leaders in the government. And so I got a little bit more information, actually, since I talked to Gary. I thought they were more seasoned, but I guess they're newer. And so for me, it's like I'm always so much like invested in what I want them to walk away with that I am now to the place where I just have to start narrowing it down, so that I know I can't give them everything in a day. And I think that's so hard sometimes, you know, because there's just so much I want to share with them. But I just wanted to get your thinking, like if anything comes to mind, like I wouldn't want them to miss. But I was sharing earlier, like I want to talk to them about, you know, why they're in leadership, and talk about four. I do want to touch on the Tim Elway's new, you know, generation, since they're coming into government. You know, people are just in the government for many years, and then and talk to them a little bit about where they are in the five levels of leadership. But my thinking was, I also want to simplify things for myself. So, you know, talking about developing the leader within you and personal influence, I know that the day before they are, or the week before, they will have some effective communication strategies. I don't know what that will be, unfortunately. And, you know, I would have loved them done the 21 laws of leadership, but I don't have the opportunity, because that's the charge, right? A separate charge with all that. Because I have not done that workshop.
Okay.
Is that a separate charge?
Yes. Yeah, there is a separate charge for that. So was there anything else? Anything else, Midge?
Well, I was looking at, like I said, I was looking at maybe drawing some pieces out of the 16 laws, and then, you know, but yeah. I have a couple other things that I throw in, you know, just to, but it's hard. You know, I believe in relationships and communication as being the key to, you know, leadership, but just not knowing what they have done, I'm not sure if I should touch on that or not. But
yeah, so with what you mentioned, it sounds like you've got at least a couple of weeks of training there.
Yeah, I know.
Right. you've got at least a couple of weeks of training there with everything that you talked about. So my question to you would be, what do you know about your audience, and what's their biggest problems and challenges right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I want them to be grounded in who they are, you know.
Well, what's the answer to that question, Midge? Do you know what the audience's biggest challenges are right now, and what maybe their expectations would be?
I think a part of that is I don't know where they're coming from. I do know that they had emotional challenges and resiliency from the speaker that would have gone on day one, and I'm on day two. So, but I do know that. But when I think about new leadership, though, sometimes I feel like, well, I know that within the government, they get placed in positions and they're sometimes with that manager mentality versus the leadership mentality. So just really want to equip them with some of those pieces and being able to, and that's why I always go to communication. I wish I could do the DISC with them, but I don't have that opportunity either.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my initial thought is you have to get so clear on what their biggest challenges are right now. And you said, hey, I've got some new leaders. I've got this. Okay, great. Who can you talk to that can help you understand from their perspective what the biggest challenges are with mm-hmm. that group? What's their demographic? What's their age group? All of the things about the audience. And I say that, okay, is because we get so wrapped up on what we should be teaching them. And I'm mm-hmm. speaking to myself here. 65%, that's the statistics, by the way. 65% of our success as a speaker facilitator is going to depend on our ability to connect with the audience and what they need, not what we think they need.
Right.
So I would want to get clarity, and I would want to get a lot of clarity to where I am certain that the topic that I'm choosing is going to address right where they're at. Okay. So I would probably want to take a step back. Now, can I make some recommendations for new leaders? Oh, absolutely. Can I make some recommendations for seasoned leaders? Absolutely. And I think we could all probably do that, right? But I would want to get more clarity on, okay, if I've got a day or a half day or whatever it is, at the end of the day, what do I want them to walk away with that addresses what I've heard as their biggest challenges today? Now, that might be something in developing the leader within you 2.0 if they're brand new leaders. If they're existing leaders, it might be something in leadership. It might be a combination of both if I get clarity on what the big challenges are that are in that group. That would be my recommendation to you, is to make sure you have certainty on that. And do you have certainty on what you believe their biggest challenges are?
I mean, I have some idea, but I agree with you. I could try and dig a little bit more as to who is actually attending. I don't really have that information, other than that they're, again, in this leadership academy for new leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gary, you speak into this one too, and if you got some thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right on, Tim. And Midge, hey, listen, hats off to you for even being in the rain, right?
Yeah.
Getting in there. But just very quickly, I'm just going to give you a little bit of my paramedic background and just draw an analogy that, you know, sometimes you take someone's pulse and it's rapid and maybe their blood pressure is low. But you really kind of want to know, there's a lot of reasons that could be low. And so I might sit them up. They're laying flat. I might sit them up, take their blood pressure again. You know, does their blood pressure drop? And if it does, then that lets me know they're low on blood volume, right? And so my point is this, that what we always do, the best option is always assess, ask more questions until you've got really good clarity because we would never want to treat someone medically without knowing for sure. You wouldn't want someone treating you medically unless they knew for sure what the issue is. And it's the same way whenever we're helping groups, we're coaching groups. We really need to know for sure what the issue is. And if that's more questions, that's more questions. And just stay at it. Yeah.
No, I respect that for sure.
So you might want to go back, right? And it's okay to go back and say, hey, I've got a few more questions.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell me, tell me, tell me about this. Tell me, right? That's not going to make us look any different. It's probably going to make us look better, is if we go in and we're trying to dig deeper with the group. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I'm putting together something that I think is really going to serve this group very, very well. And what will happen I don't know about you guys, but when I get clarity on something that I think is going to address their problems, then I get more excited about delivering it.
Yeah,
because I have this certainty that, okay, I'm on the right track here, right?
100%.
So 100%. If you want to jump back in and after you get a little bit more clarity, pick our brains on it, hey, we're here. Be happy to give you some more feedback. You've got plenty of options.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I do. And that was my big thing, was them walking away with something very substantial, whether it was clarity about themselves or the direction they want to go, you know, that sort of thing. So,
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate
right
both
on,
of you.
Mitch.
Thank you. All right. Great
Absolutely.
Talking to you.
Thank you
have
for jumping.
Have a great holiday tomorrow, and have a great week.
Yes. Thank you. All right. So let's see here how we can move to the next question. I've got Montez here. Montez, great to have you.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We'll go to Montez and then we'll jump into Carol because Carol's got a question here. Hey, Montez, what's happening?
Hey, Tim, I was wondering if you could do me a favor. Can you tell me where the Zoom link is again? I missed that earlier.
It's in the Facebook page. It's in the Executive Program Facebook page. And we would have been live there, Montez, but for some reason, I've got some technical things happening here where everything's working except going live with Facebook. So I don't know if it's Facebook itself or whether it's my system.
Oh, that's fine. I appreciate it. Now I know where to find it. I just heard Midge on, and Midge, one of the things that I can recommend to her is the DISC Lunch and Learn, if she really wants them to have DISC and learn something about themselves.
Yeah, that's a great point. That,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So good. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's a great, great recommendation.
So I have an opportunity coming up. It'll probably be in the next couple months. We'll see when we can schedule it with one of the chambers of commerce. And I went to talk to their president, and I didn't have the opportunity to ask as many questions as I wanted to. Because the meeting got started late, and then I had another meeting, you know, all that good stuff. But one of the things she's asking for is a board retreat with her board, with the chamber board, and she has staff. So the staff is one entity. The board is another entity. When she came on, the board and the staff were really – when I say two different entities, the staff did what the staff did and the board did what the board did. Now she's trying to basically bring them together. And so it's been change over the last year. One of the things she's asking for is vision and branding. She wants to look at vision and branding, how they share information, and talk about how to accelerate her vision. And she gave me 3 points of her vision that she gave them also. And this is probably going to be an all-day retreat. I'm not sure if I will have all day, but I know I will at least have 4 hours.
Okay.
So do you have any thoughts? Can you help me think into what I can pull out of our toolbox to help her out?
Yeah. Absolutely. And first of all, good for you that you've got an opportunity, right? And you didn't share this, but my guess is that you've been very visible in your chamber.
Yes.
Okay. So, and being visible, right, and you bringing this up, my chamber approached me with the same type of opportunity last year.
Okay.
And I'm an attender. I've spoken for the chamber, but I attend, and I don't attend and hand my card out to everybody, right? Like we've been told, mm-hmm. we don't hand our card out. And they basically came, the president came to me and said virtually the very same thing. Hey, I want to get my board together. I want to get my leadership team together. And would you be open to doing, you know, a half a day or, and she basically said the same type of thing. I want to really define what our mission, vision, values, and all that stuff is for the team. So I said, absolutely, I'd love to talk to you about it. And how much time can I have? When I asked her that, she in the beginning said, well, I don't know. What would you recommend? Well, I ended up getting the whole day, and there was nobody but me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we started the morning, and we did DISC assessments because they kind of said the same thing. Our board, you know, communicating with the staff and all that stuff, we've got some challenges. So we did one of the DISC assessments, one of the impact reports
mm-hmm.
with the board. So I did that, and I did the communication workshop with them. And I mapped the entire group, the entire board, right? So that, doing a group debrief and the communication impact workshop with Q&A was 3 hours mm-hmm. plus. Now, Midge was on here. What happens is we think we need more than less, and it's actually the opposite. We need less than more because we often think, I've just got to keep hitting them, right? It's like Roddy teaching us John's teaching points. He kind of works the teaching points into his 40-minute talk, but it's not all point, 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 point. We need less, but we need to make it deeper. So I did that, and again, this is a way, it's not the way. I did the assessments. I mapped it out. We did the communication impact workshop with them. And I think I might have even done one of the group things, maybe the puzzle exercise that was in there from the collaboration to do a little exercise. That's what we did in the morning. And they loved it. I did all the assessments before we got there, and then they went to the workshop. Now, the back half of the afternoon was mission, vision, and values. And we started with just pulling what their mission was off of the website, off the chamber website in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I took the values cards and I did the values exercise with them. And then we just lined out all of their values and how they're living that out. How they're living that out. What does that mean? Hey, you say you want to support the local community. Well, how are you living that out? What are the specific ways you're going to do that? We spent the afternoon doing that, and they walked away with more clarity about each other and how to communicate with each other and about the specific things that defined who they were as a chamber than they did when they walked in there. That's a way, not the way. So I would, but again, I got a lot of that clarity from the president that talked about what, you know, asking her what were the challenges with people, all of that stuff to define which report we needed to use and the specific stuff. So does that help?
It helps a lot. And it helps because she used to be a trainer in her previous job. And she kind of knows what I do. So as she was going through her talk, she went through some slides that she showed the board and the staff as they all got together. And all the questions that I would have asked besides the two you gave us today, she had in the slides. You know, she gave me a roadmap. I just wanted to see if I was headed down the right path.
Yeah, absolutely. And Terry Mann is on with us as well, and she's put in the notes that look at the for content. You know, what do you want to be known mm-hmm. for? Now, that doesn't mean you have to teach the whole thing, but if you just use those two questions, right, what do you want to be known for and what are you known for, and talk about closing the gap, right? Because more than likely, they're known for something different than they really want to be known for. So you might even be able to work that in, right, as you're working through what they want to be known for and how they're going to live those things out. So thank you, Terry, for throwing that in.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate it, Terry. And that's a great thought, because really what they're known for is their previous president had been there for 37 years, and he passed away. So now the new president has, some people have dropped off the board because of the new president. You know, change is not easy for everybody.
Right.
So, yeah. So thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. Okay. Think I may have it.
Right on, Montez. Well, thanks for jumping in.
And next time I'll try to be on Zoom. So I can see your smiling face there, Tim.
We'd love to see your smiling face, man. Montez, always great to see you. Thanks for jumping in.
All right, thank you. Bye.
All right, let's go to Carol. Carol's had her hand up there for a while. Jump in, Carol.
I think Terry had her hand up first.
Oh, she did? I'm sorry. Okay, we'll go to Terry next. Okay. But
I think my question is quick, so hopefully. So I'm doing the team collaboration workshop and the puzzle exercise. I've never done this, so I'm a little confused on the puzzle pieces. So you take out like four puzzle pieces out of one of the puzzles, and then you put them in an envelope, and you put that envelope on the table where the other group is going to be doing a puzzle, right?
So, so here's what happens. Depending on the size of your group, and I don't know how big your group is, you may need multiple puzzles.
Seven people.
So okay, you have seven people? So you might want to put them in two groups. So you might need two puzzles, okay? My recommendation would be, if you've got seven people, put them in two groups. Or you could put them in three groups of two, right? The fewer people with that size, the longer it's going to take them to get to build the puzzle, right? Then you have to determine the puzzles, okay? I think I've got about 10 puzzles, okay? Because I've done this with groups in over 30, and I need multiple groups. So, and I don't know, somebody can chime in here too once we're done here, is there are little puzzles on Amazon, and that's where I bought mine, and I think mine are about 35 pieces, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have multiples of the same puzzle that I can use with a group, so all the puzzles look the same. But what you do is, first of all, you have to build all the puzzles yourself, okay? Just let you know that. You got to build all the puzzles yourself. And then you take about three or four pieces out of each puzzle. And I typically leave all of the edges on the puzzles. And I'll take three or four of the center pieces out. And you take the pieces from one puzzle and you put them in the other puzzle that you took another three or four pieces out, and you put those in back in that other puzzle. So all you're doing is you're taking different pieces out of one puzzle and putting it in the next one, so that as they're putting it together, they're going, hold it. This doesn't work. This piece, I've already got this piece, right? So you may, so it's not, I'm sorry?
It has to be the same puzzle?
It doesn't have to be the same puzzle. No, you can have two different, three different, four different puzzles. The point is you have to put them all together, and then you have to take a few out of each one and mix them into the other one.
Okay.
Because
the envelope thing got me confused.
Well, I usually put all the puzzles in an envelope. right? Once I, mine are in manila envelopes. They're not in the box. So just because of room to carry them. So I take all my puzzles and I put them all together and then I pull pieces out and mix them up.
Okay.
Does that help?
That is better. Yes. Same time.
And I would, if you have a chance, I would get your phone out and record it when they're doing that, right? Because it's really interesting to capture their responses when they're doing this. They're like, hold it, something's not right here. Hold it. Who stole my stuff? Man, or somebody being like, well, we're done. You said build a puzzle. We got it. We got all we can do done. And then you can use those things when you do the debrief. And as Gary does so well, tell a story, make a point, right? It's like you can use that and go, okay, how does this apply to what happens when you get up against the challenge as a team? Some of you dig in and say, no, we're done here. I don't have everything I need. Right? You can use that to just reinforce and the value of that workshop.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. And thank you, Gary, for suggesting that. And the whole thing that you suggested, I basically pitched or whatever as my solution, and they accepted it with the leadership team. So, yeah.
It is
so,
good.
Thank you guys for being here for me.
Sure.
Very much.
That's great stuff. All right, Terry, jump in here. Apologize.
Didn't call you earlier. Okay, just a couple things. One, thanks for your teaching this morning, now that we're in afternoon. But I want you to know, I did really active listening the other day. I had some contractors come in. I'm thinking about doing complete windows, okay, in my home.
Yes.
And the young man, I knew he was training this other guy. You always know when the two people show up, they're trained, okay? So I always love the training, go through the process for the trainee. So we sat down. They came here about 4:45. They did not leave my home till 7:45. But in that discussion, I listened to them. And I asked them, you guys seem to be really liking where you work. What makes you like where you work? And they said, well, we have this opportunity for personal growth, ding, 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 ding. And we'd like to do this kind of thing. I said, oh, okay. So what kind of training does your company provide for you? Well, they do this and that. I said, guess what? I can help move you guys further. And so then I did share what I did, and they were so interested. Now, we'll see if they pass that on to their manager. But just the simple fact is when you were talking, it's not necessarily a sharing of people letting you sharing what you do, but listening so that you can share what you do so that they can connect how you can help them to become a success. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say, that just resonated with me. The other thing that resonated with me when you told the story of John and the granddaughter, I was like, oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. The other thing that I heard the other day from another group that I kind of joined in, she said, never pass up the opportunity to be on the mic, to take the mic. So if you're a speaker, you never pass up the opportunity to take the mic. I was like, ooh, that's good. I'm going to use that. And the other thing is I have a proposal out there. She found me on another site that I'm on for another program that I train. When I called and inquired to help answer her question, she said, well, that really wasn't what I was looking for. And I said, no problem. I said, what are you looking for? She said, well, I have 75 people that need to train with leadership and teamwork. I said, oh, you contacted the right person. So I asked, you know, I asked her some questions. I submitted the proposal. Now she's asked for links of where I recorded, have done training. I don't have anything like that, but I do have my eSpeaker account, so I sent her there. But now my question is, I didn't call her yesterday because I felt good Friday. But now, what kind of lunch and learn can I add value to that team that I can build the trust that she's looking for? Mm-hmm. She's trying to me, you asking me all of these questions of where have I spoken? I've given you references. She wants to do something, but she's not sure. You know what I'm saying? So what kind of lunch and learn could I do that I could add value to the team that she could see and then an intern accepts the proposal? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And I know Gary's thinking over here too, so I want to get him to chime in. I've got some thoughts. And Gary, we'll go to you first here, but what you said about listening, you have to be so self-aware of listening to identify the opportunity to share what you do. I think oftentimes we just share what we do before we've listened. And then we question why people aren't interested. It's because that's what we lead with. We lead with who we are versus what we do versus who we are.
Yeah, Gary, I like the word effective. And I use the terms effective communication a lot. So I'm leaning towards DISC here. So if you were to ask me one that I would do a lunch and learn on, I would do it on communication. And I like the word effective because by definition, the word effective, it serves the other person. It's to bring about a desired result, to make a soldier fit for battle. Those are some of the definitions. And when you communicate in a fashion that it serves the other person, I've not said that to one person that hasn't leaned in on effective communication. Really, what? That starts with listening, what Tim's talking about. And in this, the way that I spend it a lot of times is this helps you understand where someone is communicating to you from. And that's the DIS or C, that's their blind spot, that's their fear. When you know where someone's communicating to you from, you know where to meet them, and you have to meet them there. Well, that takes you back to listening, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing that this is just an idea that came to my mind is I would even begin with a survey. You know, it could be a one-question survey. That one question is list the top three things that you would say are your greatest challenge, your greatest weekly challenge. And when you get that, then you know exactly how to add value to them. That also creates a bridge of connection between you and this decision maker about this whole listening, about this whole effective communication idea. And you even started by asking questions. And so those are just my quick thoughts. And
thank you.
No, I love that, Gary. I think you're right on target. And, you know, one of the things you said is you didn't use these words, but you've got to build credibility with her,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know you, right?
Right.
So one of the things DISC does really fast, and even that numbers exercise, when you use that numbers exercise and you not only tie the point to is that there are patterns, but you tie it to when you have someone that can help you understand the patterns and to communicate to get you further, faster. That's what we just did with you, is that I helped you increase your ability to get to a higher number within 30 seconds once I helped you see the pattern. What I can do is help you see the pattern and how to communicate more effectively with anyone. That right there, that exercise, that's just, hey, if you want to build credibility, it does it for you as you're right? As you're doing it. So I love what Gary said there.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
So when I talk for a Monday, then I'm gonna say let's do this. Let's meet over coffee. Or let's have lunch.
Yep.
And let's talk about what are you looking forward to help your team? You see how I have to switch that room?
Yeah, you gotta switch it to hey, I've got some questions. I got more.
I'm with you guys. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I ain't too dull either.
Yeah, exactly. You have to switch it. You get from okay, I'm representing. I gotta say, hey, let's get back together. I've got some more questions I'd love to ask you.
Right. And I think it's best that we meet personally. Then I get to know you. You get to know me, and maybe that can.
Yep.
Help you come to the decision that you need to come to. That's what I'm thinking back in my mind, but I won't get out loud.
And think about her disc style, too, because if she's an I, okay, she might be okay with plenty of time, but if she's a D, you know that you're going to need to be brief, bright, and not book an hour, right? Or whatever.
She's either a D or a C.
Yeah.
I'm a C, so that's why she wants all this information.
Cool. Does that help?
It does. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. All right. We've got someone in the queue. Let's jump in here with them. We're going to go to, I think this is Arlene. Arlene.
Yes, that's me.
There you are.
Good afternoon.
There you are.
Yes, you're hearing me? Hello?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good afternoon. Good, fine. I have a question, and the question is about the following. I have it's a big organization, and they have to roll out a new strategic plan. And this strategic plan, I did the DISC and the group report, and it's a team who is a CS team, so pretty slow in general. And this was something that they struggled with in the past. They start and then halfway it stopped, so they were not successful. So they asked me to help them, and I've basically built it around three things based on the group report. One is leadership, communication, and teamwork. However, my question is, what do you suggest as the leadership part, as program? I have a year to go through stuff with them.
Okay. A great question. And by the way, well done that you've got the opportunity to present such a full program. And I want to lean into Gary while I'm here too. Okay, I've got some thoughts on this, right? It's cool that you've boiled it down and you said leadership. I just want to make sure you said leadership and teamwork and what else?
Communication.
And communication. Okay, well, if you just think about what we've been talking about here today, right, and think about, hey, how do I organize this? All leadership starts with communication, and you said you've done the assessments with them, and you've done that, right? So you have options. I mean, you have John's new book on communication. You could actually take them through a standard mastermind or a shortened mastermind on communication. You could take them through the 21, you could take them through really pieces of developing the leader within you 2.0, because in that, there's chapters on problem solving, how to effectively deal with change, and prioritizing, how to prioritize, which all leaders need those things. You could take them through the leader's journey, the 10-week mastermind on the 21 laws of leadership, where they get teaching from John and application from Mark, and then facilitated questions from you as a way to mix it up a little bit to where it's not, as Roddy said, the sameness is the death of a speaker. It's not all the same type of training.
Yeah.
So you've got those three resources that you could pull from in there. You've got the teamwork full-day workshop that you could either do over partial day sessions, half-day session, That one, if you did it in partial sessions, you could probably do that in four different sessions. But that teamwork workshop is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you've always got Everyone Communicates, You Connect. That's a great resource to use as well on the communication side.
So as the first one, as the first step, you would say take communication and then go into the leadership and then the teamwork? Is that what your thoughts are?
I would probably build on what you've already done with DISC, with communication.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you might even think about going to teamwork from there, because the communication that you're taking them through is all about communicating with each other. You might go from there to teamwork and then to leadership. So, Gary, you have thoughts?
Yeah, and, you know, Tim, you gave so much wonderful advice there, and my thoughts even centered around taking parts of the 21 laws and tie that in with communication and tie that in with how it operates within teamwork. Some specific laws, law of connection, law of process, law of buy-in are all wonderful laws, but how they tie together, because leadership, teamwork, and communication is like a circulatory system. The leaders are the heartbeat. They give first. They pump the blood of life to the organization. The teamwork, that's all the arteries and the blood vessels that work together. And the feedback is all that information that comes back to your heart. Do I need to pick up the pace to our lungs? Do I need to get some more oxygen? That's all the feedback. That's all the communication. And it all has got to work that way. And the leaders are pumping the blood of life through the organization. And so some of those specific laws, it all dovetails. It dovetails in the teamwork. It dovetails in the communication. And that's all I got to say about that.
Well, that was gold right there.
So what you actually recommended is mix and matching them. So mixing them. It's not like, you know, do leadership first and then communication and then the other one.
Yeah.
Just mix it up.
Mix it up.
In there. Yeah, and then my question is, and then with a certificate, if you want to give them a certificate for, you do it at the end, you give them all three or whatever program you did with them?
Yeah, you have some options there. You might give them, think about each one of those segments, but you would want to give them, if you do the entire training, then give them that certificate. Maybe you give it to them at the end. Maybe you think about, okay, what would this look like if I mixed it together? Would it make sense that I give the leadership certificate or teamwork certificate before the end?
Okay. Good. I like the mixing thing, because I think it makes sense. So thank you for your thoughts. It helps my thoughts process.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, keep us posted. Let us know how it goes, what you decide, okay, Arlene?
Yes, I will let you know, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, let's see here. We've got one more in the queue. I think we've got, is this Dr. Ken?
Hi, good morning from Bakersfield, California, or a good afternoon to the
morning.
Good morning, Tim and Gary. Good to be in on the call. I'm sorry I'm a little late on the call, so you may have talked about this, but I have a quick question and a comment. What I've heard so far, I love and enjoy, so I'm glad I caught what I could. I recently completed a sales impact report and workshop for a team at a company here in California, in the Central Valley. They really love the impact report and the workshop, and they've asked me to continue doing literal lunch and learns, two-hour meetings over lunch, quarterly. So I'm not sure what my next step will be for continuity and value to this team. I was thinking about the sales lunch and learn, or I'm not sure out of the choices. what my next best step would be, and I'm looking for your recommendations for an experienced sales team, and they are in the security industry working with commercial accounts for security systems, monitoring, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've got a lot of options. It's a sales team, right?
Yes.
And depending on your pricing, how many people are in this group?
It's a small group, right now, small company. There are four individuals.
Okay, there are four individuals. So, and again, I don't know how you're pricing this out, okay? You're pricing this out with them. They want you in there once a quarter for 2 hours?
Yes, so we just finished first quarter for March, and then we're planning then the next one for June.
Yeah, so if you want to keep it along the lines of sales, you could take either one of the sales boot camps that are in there.
Okay.
They're $9.97 per person at retail. Now, I don't know what you're planning to charge them for your time over the next, you know, four sessions or how long this engagement is planning, you know, you've secured with them. But you could take them through pieces of that level one or level two and kind of customize it based on what their current needs are. So if you've taken them through the sales report,
yes,
the boot camp really reinforces that sales assessment and the workshop in the first four sessions. And it does that intentionally to help them develop muscle memory. So I would say go in and take a look at that. The PowerPoints for each of the lesson are in lesson boot camp number one.
Yes.
All the PowerPoints are there and the videos are there that you can take a look at. But that would probably be one of the resources that I would lean into if it's a sales team, is I would go in and look at both of those resources and find a way to bundle that in with however long my engagement is. Now, if I took those 12 sessions that are in there, I could probably secure the next 2 years with them if I'm only in there once a quarter.
That's right.
Just with what's there, right?
Yeah, that was my question because I saw with the boot camps, those are 12 weeks, so I'm thinking I would only need a third of that and wasn't sure with pricing, you know, seeing the pricing that's there or suggested, I just wasn't sure how that would work out for just three sessions. But yes, long term. That's enough for a couple of years to do it that
or
way.
Depending on what your bundle fee is for those 2 hour sessions, right? You might be able to work that in and more. So I don't know.
Yeah. I priced it, according to the range of the sales impact report and workshop.
Okay.
And that put it somewhere in the maybe a couple hundred bucks per person per
session.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas to get portions of that, I thought about using portions of the boot camp, the first series, but I wasn't sure how to price that. You know, I could get the materials for the 12 weeks and just, is that a recommendation? Maybe go ahead, purchase the first series, the first 12 weeks, and then just use portions of that that can support maybe the first four modules that might support continuing. Okay. Now, can that also be used with another client, or how does that work?
Could you certainly do that with your client? Yes. You would have to purchase, if there's four people, you'd have to purchase four of those. So your cost would be $800.
Uh-huh.
If you had four people, because I think each one of the certificates for the level one is $199 each.
Yeah.
So basically it would be around 4,000 retail for you to take them all through that, no matter whether you did three or whether you did six, right? And I don't know whether you have an opportunity to go in and renegotiate with them and say, listen, I have an opportunity. I can take your team through these areas that you've identified are opportunities for you, but I'm going to need one more session and the price would be this. I don't know if you have an opportunity to do that or not, but if you do, then your cost on those is $199 per person. And it sounds to me like each one of your sessions that you're charging them around $1,000 or a little bit less.
Yes, and that's reasonable. I think there's flexibility there, Tim, to do extra sessions. They're loving the material, and that should not be hard once that continuity begins. That should be easy. So I like that suggestion to go with the boot camp. I was a little hesitant because I saw 12 weeks and I didn't feel the length, but that would still be I still need to look at how that works. Is there a time frame that I have to use it? Can I use weeks with different clients, or do they have to be the same? I have to dig deeper and to see how I can logistically, you know, it off.
So there's no time limit on it once you get it. But if you purchase four, it's for those four specific people that you're taking them through, and each of the certificates is numbered accordingly. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you had another organization you're taking them through, you've got to pay for another however many that you're taking them through that. That's the way it works.
Got it. Great. Well, that sounds like a plan. I'll try that pathway.
Cool.
Great. Well, thank
Fantastic.
You so much. Thanks so much, Tim. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. The queue is clear. I'm going to go to my panel here. If there's any questions anyone has, jump in. Tasha, jump in there.
Hey. First of all, Tim and Gary, thank you so much. That was amazing. My question, you referenced something earlier, Tim, about Live to Lead, and the question that you said was how you said, how do they get to know me? So based off of everything that y'all shared today, I know there's going to be calls. I just purchased the license, and there's going to be calls about the nuts and bolts. But I would love to know about your personal experience. Like, what did Live to Lead do for your business?
Well, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for Live to Lead at the level I'm doing it at. Because Live to Lead has probably brought me more business that first year and subsequently than anything, because it's given me visibility in the community. And one of the things I heard Mike Leitner share with me the first year that I did it is he said, my room held about 100 people, he said. And he said, I gave away tickets. But he's like, he was selling tickets and giving away tickets. And he said, I wish I would have given away more tickets, because for me, and these were his words, he said, I'm just trying to get butts in seats. Right? So when I heard him say that, I'm like, okay, I'm selling tickets, but I'm going to give away tickets. So I printed tickets, and I just started walking in local businesses around here, and I'd heard the team go, hey, give tickets to local law enforcement and fire department, all that stuff. So I just started walking. I walked into the fire department over here and gave tickets away, right? I'm walking into business. Hey, my name's Tim Novak. You know, I'm a speaker, coach, trainer. I'm hosting an event here in the area. Here's two free tickets. Give them away to your company, whatever you want to do. I just did that. Mm-hmm. And then something Antoinette Griffin, I learned from her, was this card. And I don't have it right here with me, but it was basically a card that says, let's stay connected. Mm-hmm. And it had my contact info on the front and on the back. It said, hey, if you want this executive brief that we have, and we have a couple of executive briefs at the executive programs that are free, check the box if you want the executive brief on the six effective ways of communication. I just messed up the name of that, but check this box and then check the other one if you want to talk about potential speaker training, coaching in your company, and put your name, address, phone number, email on it. And the first one I did, I got about 25 cards back with at least 15 of those. Well, they all wanted the executive brief, but I had about 15 of them that checked the box that said, I'd like to talk to you about potential speaking, coaching, training, right? Now, they didn't know me. I just hosted the Live to Lead. Out of those people, I got like this with a bunch of them live, and I had an opportunity to share what I did. ask questions, make statements, and offer the opportunity to come in and talk to their organization as a gift. That, I got more Discovery Me. I got more business out of that. So every year, what am I doing? I'm selling tickets, and I'm trying to get butts in seats, and I'm giving them away. So I'm doing Live to Lead every year because the first one paid for my Live to Lead probably for the next 20 years.
Wow. That's awesome.
And I'm not doing it. I've just been, the first 5 years, I've done it like from 9 a.m. to noon. Just run it like it's run on the day. I've done nothing different than show up, push play, kicked it off, did the break, and did the end, and did my lift give to get, right? This year, I'm probably going to do a little bit different. I'm thinking about doing it different and not doing it live so that they can get to know more of me. In between each session, I can talk about it. And then I can talk more about what I do at the end to add value to them. But Live to Lead, I wouldn't be here today doing what I'm doing at the level I'm doing if I wasn't a host for Live to Lead. And Gary, I know, you know, you jumped in too, right? You're doing it too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an amazing door opener. And it'll bring people from far and wide to your location to get to be part of this. And then obviously you always create that opportunity to follow up. And I've done that and it's expanded my business for sure.
Yeah. And I partner with someone now. I started doing it on my own. Someone approached me and said, hey, you know, I'd love to do Live to Lead, but I only want to do private events. I don't want to do a live event. Would you be interested in, you know, having your license with me? And I'm like, let me think about that. Yes. Right? So I've partnered with other Maxwell Leadership people in my area that aren't doing Live to Lead, but they can bring people to my Live to Lead. So why not share the revenue? So I give them a piece of every ticket that's sold. So they may not be involved, but I want them involved. And then let them share in the revenue. Again, this is a way. It's not the way. And then the individual does all the private showings that he wants to do with the, and it's just, it's a win for everybody.
Love it. Thank you. That helps. That encouraged me because, like I said, I did buy the license and I know the call to get ready to come up, but yeah. I love hearing just the firsthand experiences. So thank you for sharing both of them.
Fantastic. Right on. Hey, well, it's been a great call. It's been a great call. Time flies when you're having fun and productive. Thank you guys so much for hanging in. Dory and Mary Beth and Terry and Desmond and Dr. Beverly's in here with us too. Thank you guys for jumping in. In our next session, and I didn't mention this earlier, you want to be with us on April 29th when we have Jeff Henderson on this call. Jeff is going to be my guest on the 29th, and we're going to pick his brain about how he went from being an employee to an entrepreneur and how he's working to generate business and revenue within his business. And we want to lean into that to help us get further faster from people like Jeff. So I'm excited to be with him in a couple of weeks, and then we'll jump into the next segment of this workshop after that. So thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful Easter weekend. Look forward to seeing you. Gary, thank you for being part of our event here today. I know it's been a busy day for you as well. And again, if you missed out on the call with Tim Elmore this morning on the mentorship line, don't miss it. Go back and listen to that one. Have a great weekend, guys. Bye-bye.
Record. Cool.
All right, guys. I am going to stop the recording.